RCR with Paul Brennan.
Back in mid-December, I spoke with Scott Lawson here at RCR, organic blueberry grower and industry board member. We were talking about New Zealand's gene technology bill and how it threatens our billion-dollar organic export industry. Scott is back with us in 2025 to talk about, right now, a press release that's captured our attention. Organics Aotearoa New Zealand calling for key amendments to the gene technology bill to safeguard New Zealand organic farming. There are some points in there, and of course, there's been a change of minister, and you know, this is a very important fork in the road, some would say, for New Zealand. So Scott is back with us. Sorry about the long-winded intro, Scott, but we had to set the table again. So I'm looking at this release from you, and there are key amendments that you say are needed to make the bill fit for purpose. What are they?
Well, I guess a little bit of background too. I'm here to represent the organic sector, which includes our community of consumers, exporters, farmers like myself, and everybody in that supply chain as well too. So we started out saying in our original submission that we would like to toss this whole bill out because we thought it was so poorly written, et cetera. And I think you and I may have discussed that back in September and December, for instance. So, but we realised that this government is hell-bent on pushing it through, right or wrong or in whatever format. So we raised some public funds, and we have used those public funds to engage legal counsel of May Chen and Associates. And under May's advice, we have been really clear since day one that we want labelling, liability, traceability. And May has suggested to us that we need to really add in the civil liability part as well too. There's four key parts to it. The four parts really are the civil liability clause. So this is all in our press release. A mandatory traceability for all GMOs, and that includes the new gene technologies. And that also includes labelling as well too. We understand that that producers that buying the seed farmers, when they buy farm inputs, they want to know if it's been used with new technologies in the breeding of the seeds or the products they're using. Because we have wished to focus on the food and environment part of this bill. We don't have the mandate to speak on the medical stuff. Although we have noted in our submission, we really want people to have choice and transparency in the relation to medical applications. So, but we're about the food and the environment side. So that's labelling and traceability is really important to us. The coexistent measures are not possible for us in farming and food production with GM neighbours, for instance. So we're really strong on this, and so are many of our conventional growing counterparts and primary producer industry representatives as well too, like the Seed and Grade Association. They're the experts in pollen transfer and bees spreading pollen for crops and things, and they say coexistence cannot happen. It's not possible. And really, I think our fourth thing really is about the independent decision-making of the ability for the regulator to sit outside any political influence, because we noted that in the original draft of the bill, the regulator had to follow the minister's advice to deregulate certain organisms at the swipe of a pen, and we don't believe that's constitutionally correct, nor morally, nor ethically, nor economically. And all of these things have had very poor consideration in the draft of the bill. Minister Collins, who originally fronted the bill, said she's not interested in any ethical inclusions in this bill, nor any economic analysis. So OAN's commissioned NZIER to do an economic impact report. And that ranged from tens of billions of dollars of impact if we go down the GE track. So, and now we have a new minister, Mr. Shane Retty, ex-health minister, of course, and perhaps that's quite relevant to the fact that this bill is being heard under the Health Select Committee, who, to be fair, are going to be probably well-versed in health issues, but perhaps not so much in the issues of microorganisms and food and environment in our environment than things that could be affected by this GE deregulation. So That's what we're up to at the moment. We're pushing for four amendments. We understand that the bill will go through in some format. It seems every political party is hell-bent on supporting it. We've been across all parties, and there may be some movement in some of the parties, but obviously they're signed up to coalition agreements and others. So we've got a few hurdles to cross yet if we wish to make some change, I guess, Paul.
I asked Winston about that about a week ago, maybe getting closer to 2 weeks, about what he thought of this bill. And he was quite reluctant to get in fully behind it, I picked up. And he said that we just need to find out. There are, you know, once the genie's out of the bottle kind of thing. I mean, he was saying these things. I don't know if it means anything in the end, but there did seem to be a realization that this, for them anyway, could rebound. So there might be a little bit of backroom talking going on there. I want to go through some of these points, these 4 points. If civil liability, if companies, entities are exposed to civil liability here, they can't do anything, can they? That actually sinks it right there, doesn't it? It's too risky.
Would certainly hopefully put some barriers up to say that if they harm somebody else, they will pay. And that is surely not too much to ask.
But what if they harm the industry and infect a whole lot of organic farms with, because we just talked about, there's no, forget buffering, okay?
You cannot buffer, you cannot contain, Paul, when GE pollen, and I think there was a recent comment by one of our scientists that agreed that if we have such a thing like the proposal of GE ryegrass, it will soon become a wild grass species throughout New Zealand. It cannot be contained. And examples of GE grasses jumping out of actually contained field trials in the US, golf course turf grasses, things like that. They've caused real trouble in the States, and they've spent, you know, millions of dollars trying to clean it up, and then the company ends up walking away from it. So we don't want that in New Zealand. That's not adding value to our coalition government's dream of increasing value in New Zealand. So it's not adding value to our economy. Modern farmers are not even interested in planting ryegrass. GE ryegrass will not fix climate change nor methane issues.
Judith told us about the apple tree that could grow in 1 year and bear fruit.
You know, I think the comment was it could fruit all year round. Well, wouldn't that be great for markets? And I think any people that have any growing knowledge of nature and natural production and biological systems, it doesn't work like that.
Traceability, again, that's a can of worms for anyone with these products in food items, if you could trace them, anything goes wrong, there could be liability there, but it could be a turnoff for your product when people make decisions on traceability if they could, presumably it'd be on labels, etc. So again, that kind of sinks it, the business model a bit here again, just talking food, not medical, obviously.
Yes, that's true. If from a consumer's point of view, we, particularly our organic consumers, are extremely discerning about these things. So, but the general consumers are not that interested in accepting gene products as well to gene edited or otherwise, if they knew. And this research has been done. Some consumers don't care. They just want the cheapest product. The majority of the consumers that New Zealand produces food for are a discerning consumer base, and they are concerned about it. And this is what our markets tell us and the feedback. And so as farmers, we have declarations saying we're purchasing GE-free seeds, and we now have other declarations from our seed suppliers saying no new breeding techniques, NBTs, or no new genomic techniques, NGTs are used in this, no gene editing's used in these seed productions. So we have this chain of command coming right through. And the certified organic industry's had this chain of command for almost 40 years. The rest of the food producers are now bringing this up to speed and things what they call a global gap and NZ gap, good agricultural practice gap, assurance systems. And most farming systems have an assurance system of something. BioGrow's been around for over 40 years. We've had this traceability in our system. So, whilst it creates complex issues for food manufacturers when they're buying ingredients from all around the world and making fruit salad type products with stuff from all over the world, it's hard on them, and I appreciate that. It's also going to be harder for them to detect the use of these new ingredients without declarations. And there's a whole lot of work going on in the EU at the moment where scientific work is going on to be able to trace these products that are so-called just like nature but have been gene edited. They are GMOs. So if a product has been genetically engineered with either transgenes or it has been, its genome has been edited, cut and pasted, removed, whatever, often foreign DNA is also inserted through gene editing, so it's not without the risk of foreign DNA. These products, these techniques all produce genetically modified organisms. So the devil is in the detail of the definitions. So we're pretty clear on that, saying that these technologies produce GMOs. If you wish to keep GMOs out of your supply chain, you need to know how to test these. And the science is catching up on these CRISPR technologies and things that they're doing that are highly efficient, but not necessarily precise. So they leave signs that has been altered in some way. And there will be testing regimes. But our main concern on this is the cost of the testing will fall on the growers and on the food manufacturers to prove that they don't
And then
have
if you
the
prove
information.
it without any liability, good luck. You know, it's sort of a crazy circular thing.
And there are examples around the world where farmers have been prosecuted for the seeds blowing over the fence being found in their farm and the crops that are produced on their farms when they didn't actually buy the seeds from the genetically modified seeds, and they were found with these seeds on their farm, not through any fault of their own, and they get prosecuted then by the seed supplier saying, hey, I've got patent variety rights on those seeds. You've got the seeds. You haven't paid for them. So that's the flip side of it. So it's hellishly complicated, and we need to take this time. And I think Nathan Guy, for the Meat Industry Association, who represents, our meat processors, our meat exporters, huge billions of dollars worth of products there. Beef and lamb, dairy NZ. Dairy Association New Zealand, they're all saying the same thing. Let's take the time to get this right.
Yeah, well, in that part of the sector, the approaches for creating GMO, I don't know, feed and whatever, is to limit methane into the environment, which, well, depends on who you are, whether you believe that or not. So again, and this is what I wanted to get to in terms of business, because obviously we know from that NZEIR report you had done, kind of what the hit would be, right? So it's in the billions, multiple billions.
There's a range, yeah.
Surely, in anyone's most fevered dream, tinkering around a small country at the bottom of the world with under 6 million people, tinkering around with genetic modification is not going to change the world. But it could if it's an easy area to operate in the world, to test things out. I got a feeling, and many of our listeners would have this, that this whole thing has been constructed to make us a lab.
It's really concerning to us in Organics New Zealand because if it gets out, we're the first ones that lose our certification, lose our products. We are really strong in the fact that we don't need it. And for our wider farming community outside the certified organics, they don't need this either. They don't need New Zealand to become the Wild West of the laboratory testing
But
of.
we're not even going to make money from it, like compared to what you guys do. It's it's never going to be that big, so why even do it, you know?
No, that we can't see anything when, and we've said this for years. And personally, I've followed this issue now since the mid 90s. So what's that, 30 years? I was involved in speaking at the Royal Commission in 2000, and I haven't changed my position. I feel somewhat more informed than I was back then, but I haven't changed my position on it. I don't believe it adds to the NZ Inc. bottom line. It doesn't fix our problems that we have, which we know we have climate change issues. We know we have farming resilience issues that we have to deal with. But really, the bottom line, most farmers are just struggling to stay alive at the moment, stay producing. We have so many hurdles to cross to get our food to market and get a fair return for our investment. Whatever farming system you're on, we're all the same. We're all struggling to get a fair return. We don't need any extra costs in our supply chain or any extra distractions. And to be honest, this is a big distraction that is widely unneeded in New Zealand agriculture.
Just to wind up, you mentioned Shane Reddy before, Minister for Science, Innovation and Technology, now former Health Minister. And you mentioned in the release that he acknowledged the importance of traceability for everything released, both past and present. So, okay. But, I mean, again, different person, Judith Collins before, now him. You know, can you trust these people, Scott? Because Minister Reddy was the Minister of Health, still pumping out the jabs, despite all the evidence in the world. Supporting fluoridation. I'm just going through my list here. Against all the cases we know about, and our listeners are familiar with that, and obviously presided over a bit of a, well, it seemed like the wheels are falling off the health system there. Maybe they still are. You know, do you think these people have the capability, get back to it again, of understanding? And based on their past positions, do they understand this at all? And if they don't, I mean, man, we're in trouble, aren't we?
It's a very complex subject, and I don't believe any one of us understands the full wider issues. You know, New Zealand many years ago, for a majority vote, voted an MMP. We have MMP now. We have a range of politicians involved. Some will be lobbied harder than others by industry to push certain things across the line. And some will work more on a social or ethical or environmental bent or otherwise. And we have to put our faith in the fact that we have MMP, we have a range of politicians, we have a range of people involved in this Health Select Committee who are going to be voting on this bill and hopefully making amendments. We would like nothing more than the whole bill to be thrown out and started over again. And in hindsight, it should have been an amendment to the HasNo Act.
Yeah.
And that would have sorted things. But for whatever reason, it's been driven that there's going to be a whole new bill and a whole new regulator. And it affects 10 different acts. At the same time, the organic industry has been asking, and we've been working this with the government for 17 years across different consecutive governments, to get some regulation around the word organic, what that means to people in New Zealand, because we're a trading nation. And we have an organic sector close on near to $1 billion now. Mm. And we don't want to lose that. And this gene tech bill has the ability to undermine the sector totally. And the organic sector, our organic community, it's just disastrous for us in many ways. That's without affecting our GMO-free conventional farmers. And by crikey, there are many of those out there. The Concerned Farmers Group's one that's out there. They may never wish to farm organically. That's their choice, but they don't want to be contaminated either. They don't want to be forced into having GMOs on their farms and their waterways and everything else. Yeah. And we have to remember that this is food and environment, it's microorganisms as well too, it's fungi, it's bacteria. Something like the fermentation that's being proposed.
Genetically modified bacteria at the base level.
That's right. And if you have yeast and things, GMO yeast, this is going to be a major problem. And what do you do when you wash out the tanks? Where are they going? All these things, there's a lot of very convoluted, we need to think it all through rather than just say, hey, there's a great thing we need to be doing.
Okay, and very quickly, I'd also pick up on the last point, independent decision-making on exemptions, because we know about revolving doors, right?
Yes, and yes. And it comes back to your question about can we trust these people?
Yeah.
We have to put trust in a regulatory system that we've all had time to have some input into, and we've had a discussion. Let's have a cup of tea. Let's take time over this. It's the same as many other bills that are being forced through at the moment. You will only gain trust from your constituents, from your community, if you take them on board and you take them along with you. If you mandate things, if you ram it down their throat saying, this is what you're going to get, love it or like it, love it or leave it, or just hate it or take it, this is just, it's not taking people along with you.
Good to catch up with you again, Scott Lawson, who is on the board of Organic Aotearoa NZ, OANZ, also on the board of Hawke's Bay Future Farming Trust, and as you, I'm sure, picked up, owner of certified organic blueberry business, True Earth Certified Organic Blueberries in the Hawke's Bay. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens,
Thank
Scott.
You. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for the time today, and thank you for a chance to share OANZ's position, because we need your help. We need the wider community's help, and we encourage everybody to go to the oanz.org website, have a look at what we're proposing there. We have a lot of information on there. We've raised some funds. We've been able to counter this argument somewhat that was coming at us in a very, like a freight train, and a very poorly driven freight train at that. So we appreciate, and thanks to everybody for who have made donations already and in the future as well too, and we will use that money wisely. Thank you very much.